Welcome back to Copper Country Today. I'm your host, Rick Allen, and joining me in studio right now from the International Frisbee Inc., Dennis Wallakainen. Welcome to the program.
Hey, great to be here.
Dennis, we always kind of bring you in here for the International Frisbee Tournament, usually sometime in late June, because the tournament up in Calumet usually takes place July 4th weekend. That's a change, too, that we'll come to, but I wanted to have you come in a little earlier this year because of the Keweenaw Guts Day that's coming up, and that's also a it's a great chance for people who, get out and see what guts is like and just have a little bit of fun, and we'll talk about that in a moment first. But for those that, may not be aware what guts frisbee is, I wasn't when I first moved up here. I had no idea what it was, and in over the 5 years that I've seen the tournament, fell in love with this sport, and at least as a spectator, enjoy mm-hmm. coming and seeing it. But for those that may not know, what is this sport?
Well, it's a great sport to fall in love with. We think it's a great spectator sport. It's pretty intense. It's two teams.
Oh, go right. I've got your mic fixed there. Gordon.
Okay. Yeah, we got two teams 14 meters apart. That's roughly 15 yards. They throw the orange professional model frisbee as fast as they can. You have to catch it one hand. You play up to 21, and you have to win by two. You can't trap it against your body, and speeds are exceeding 90 miles per hour. Actually, the fastest throw now is by a disc golfer named Simon Lazat, who threw it 95 miles an hour last year, which is incredible. It kind of disappears if you see the video. But, it all started as a lark, if you will. The Healy family got word of a sport that we actually think started out at Dartmouth College in 1954, our first recorded history of it. And Dick Warden brought the sport back to the Keweenaw, and was a friend of the Healy family. They started it up in 1958, and July 4th that year, they started playing it and adapted some rules, including the one-hand rule, which actually started because you're supposed to have an adult beverage in the other hand while you were playing. Nowadays, you stick with the one-hand rule. And it started from that 4th of July picnic family and friends into something that, at one point in the early 80s, we had 65 teams and 8,000 to 10,000 people over a 2-day time period, and it just grew and grew and grew, and then died off a little bit. And now we're glad to say it's bounced back. But yeah, it started right here. If you go to the Hall of Fame up in the Calumet Coliseum, you see it says birthplace of guts frisbee, and that's it. We can claim this crazy sport.
And as much as it is a local phenomenon, I mean, people love it here, it is also a worldwide sport. It's an international sport, in that there have been guts frisbee played in Japan and in Europe, and certainly, of course, throughout this country.
Yeah, it's huge everywhere. Actually, every 4 years, there's something called the World Ultimate in Guts Championships, and we are sending two teams from Team USA this year, including three local players on Team USA too, and they'll be competing against Germany, Belgium, the UK, Japan, I'm going to forget countries, Sweden. Anyway, there's like eight nations, and we're so glad that we've got three local boys who are going to go and represent us, and represent us well. Part of the reason they were chosen, not just because of their ability, but the way they play the sport. They play a clean sport. They play a sportsman, and we're very proud of the three guys. I should mention their names, Will Blau, Al Nettle, they're both from Hancock, and Stephen Dudenis from Lake Linden.
Now, for those that have been out to the IFT, are they on the same team?
Yeah, they'll actually play as Team USA, too. They will play as a tune-up before London. That's the WUGC is in London, England, at the end of June. Before that, they'll be playing in Wisconsin as a Team USA 2 altogether. And we think at the IFT, they will probably also play as Team USA 2. They have players from Marquette and Detroit and the Lansing area, in addition to our three local guys.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah, it is.
When you have the IFT, there's teams that come from so many different places in the country. It's fascinating to see them come, and that the teams are made up of all different ages,
yep,
people's backgrounds. You see, guys our age, the older crowd that are out there playing, and they're playing against these 20-year-olds, and sometimes the older guys do win. But it's a sport that has longevity, and it's good to see it coming back.
Yeah, the neat thing about it is, actually, it started with a reunion IFT in 2004, and what happened was a guy named Dave Bradshaw brought all the old teams back. We had nine of the old guys, Highland Avenue Aces, those kinds of teams from way back. They came back, and a lot of the older players started getting their sons to play. My included. My son John plays. And from that point on, it just started taking off. We had a team called the Boomtown Saints, which came from Mark Banghart, his three sons, and our two of their buddies became the dominant team in Guts Frisbee, and they still are one of the dominant teams now. This is going all the way back to 2005, 2006. And so you have this younger group, the Boomtown Saints, the Appleton Assassins, one-time IFT winner, I think five consecutive U.S. national championships. That's the tournament down in Marquette in August. And then there's a team of younger players in New Mexico who are dominant, called Badan Park. And so we have this great core of young players who have been brought along by their parents and by older friends and older Frisbee players. So we really do have almost two divisions now. And there's word that for the 60th, we might have a master's division. We're trying to figure out where do we set the age at 50, 55, 60 even, and then let the younger guys play off, and then us old guys might play for the 60th. Not myself, but I'm trying to get my old team, Paul's Bar, together, and I'll just be a coach, if you will.
I've been attending the IFT now for a number of years, and I love the atmosphere, the sort of the backyard picnic feeling.
Yep.
We bring the dog, we bring the canopy, we set up on the sidelines where we can be able to see some of the games. And, you know, I always have a little bit of work that I have to do with the news side, but when I'm done with that, it's just, you know, relaxing in a chair and watching the game be played and enjoying just the different people that come out, because it's a great crowd of people who obviously really enjoy coming out and spending the weekend doing this.
Yeah, it's a great sport to watch. It's very intense, and obviously if it's going, you know, pushing 90 miles an hour, it's really hard to catch. And you've got, you know, Alex Tews, who actually had the record for a short period of time, 87.5 miles an hour back in 2013. But you also have, you know, great old players that people will recognize from years ago, the old Cupola Bandits, some of the guys from Marquette that used to play with the Where They Go and the Queen City team 151, those guys. You'll still see some of them around from downstate. You'll see the old Air Aces come up. So it's a good mix of old and new guys, and the sport is every bit as intense, and the quality, top to bottom, is as good as it's ever been. I was talking with a Hall of Famer, Paul Sky King Richardson, from long ago, a Hall of Famer that inducted into the second class of the Hall of Fame in 1980, was talking to me in Wisconsin last year, and he said, you know, top to bottom, the quality of play is as good as it's ever been. There's hardly a slouch on any team. Everybody has really high quality catching and throwing, and it just makes it even better to watch. You know, you've got five or six teams that can win the IFT every year, and that's new. That's great to see. We're very pleased. You know, it could be Boomtown, it could be Appleton, it could be Luigi's, a local team that's been really well as of late. And then, like I said, if Team USA 2 is together and if Team USA 1 is together, people will see some fantastic combination teams, if you will. Team 1 is made up of Appleton and Boomtown and New Mexico. It's just outstanding players, offensive and defensively. And Team 2 is nearly every bit as good. Players, like I said, from Marquette, the Keweenaw here, Detroit, and Lansing. So it's the quality is there. It's fun to watch. You can bring your cooler. We have concessions by the CLK Boosters every year, and great raffle prizes. We package them all up, and your man Todd Van Dyke will read off the winners Sunday, and there's 10 packages, great gifts, motel rooms, and you name it, stuff from all over the local area, and they're just great gifts, and it's gone over really well. Like, the raffles are one of the big draws, I think, for people to showing up to see if they want something.
Now, you mentioned the Team USA 1 and 2. Are local fans going to be able to see those teams play?
Yeah, we hope they stay together. We've actually moved the IFT so we can get the boys back, give them 2 weeks off from getting back from London, England, and then, you know, we can it'll be up to them. They'll either go back to their old teams, and that's fine, too. If the Appleton Assassins want to come and try to knock off Boomtown again, that will be a great, too. We've had a really good, intense rivalry now between these two teams. They like each other. They can nearly play without observers because they both play a clean, honest game. And so if they reform as their original teams, that's fine, too. But if they play as Team USA 1 and Team USA 2, they're going to be really hard to beat. They're just a good mix of incredibly talented guys and good guys at the same time. Again, they were chosen for sportsmanship in addition to their quality of play.
Now, it's usually on the July 4th, the closest weekend to July 4th, right. And it has happened where July 4th falls during yep. the weekend. This time you are moving it 1 week later, so yep. it's going to be July 9th and 10th, so people want to take note of that. If they yep. traditionally plan their weekend around, you know, coming to the IFT, that it will be 1 week later.
Yep.
And you mentioned that maybe next year would be the same thing.
Yeah, for the 60th, we're going to keep it be July 8th and 9th for next year. And that's there's many good reasons for doing it. Number one, it gets it off the 4th, and people can come and enjoy the sport without running back to their family picnics, including the Healy family, who actually have a get-together every 4th of July because that's where it started. So they have a hard time making the IFT because they're all busy having fun up in Eagle Harbor. So we will actually accommodate the Healys and hope to get them back these next couple of years. And yeah, people can, and the hotels and motels like it too, and restaurants, obviously, we give them another busy weekend with people coming in from out of town. And you know, the 4th of July fills up here anyway, but we hope we can give them a July 9th and 10th, we can fill up the hotels for another weekend.
You mentioned also about Hall of Famer Sky King, and that brings to mind that Calumet is the home of the Guts Frisbee Hall of Fame.
Yep, exactly. It's actually the full name is the International Frisbee and USA Guts Hall of Fame and Museum. And there's a couple of reasons for that. It began as the International Frisbee Hall of Fame with WAMO, the Copper Country Chamber of Commerce, and the International Frisbee Association created it back in 1978. The Chamber of Commerce used to run the induction ceremonies, and we took over in 1997. I took over and did an induction class. It was kind of floundering. Nobody was doing anything with it for a while. And we were housed, people might remember seeing it in the Houghton County Museum down in Lake Linden. And we since have moved up to the Calumet Coliseum. They've been very accommodating to us, great people to work with. Actually, as we speak, they're repainting the entire room. It's getting a nice new coat of paint, and we're going to totally redesign it. We want to come up with some new ideas, and we have a committee looking at how can we present this great story of Guts Frisbee and these other sports, which does include overall championships, disc golf, double disc court, and freestyle. We have members of the Hall of Fame from those different sports also they have their plaques on the wall up there. So it's not just Guts. We focus on Guts because that's our sport. That's where it all began. But we do acknowledge other sports, and we, you know, just for example, we have the Calumet Lake Golf Course, disc golf course now, where we hope to get some Guts players out there throwing discs this IFT, because it's a nice course, and we want to show that, you know, we're more than just Guts. We appreciate all disc sports. We just think we have the best one.
I know from somebody who, you know, as a relative newcomer to the sport, considering how long it's been around, that going to the museum, to the over at the Calumet Coliseum, and seeing so much history backing up, you know, where you are today. I mean, approaching 60 years, it really, I don't know, brought it to a whole different level. You're seeing players from the 1970s, you know, in mm-hmm. you know, old photographs, old team, whether they're jerseys or plaques and things that have it's a little like Cooperstown, you know.
It really is,
you know, for yep. for your sport, and seeing that, you know, it makes you really appreciate, you know, how much has gone before us, you know,
exactly.
in part of this.
Yeah, and it was great to be as a player. I was so lucky. I was able to play in the golden age, if you will, from the mid-70s to the mid-80s, especially when we were, you know, on the top of our game, if you will. I know it sounded like an old-timer now, but the older we get, the more we appreciate those good old days and what this sport meant to so many people. You know, I'm still identified by it from Paul's Bar. Well, Paul's Bar stopped playing in 1979, and people still remember that team and the finals against the Library Bar, the great local team, in 1978. And we were lucky to play against that great, great team with Johnny Hodges, the late, great Johnny, and Bob Hansen, and actually five Hall of Famers on that team, would you believe? And so it's we can acknowledge them, all the other great teams, the Air Aces from Detroit, the Highland Avenue Aces from Chicago, and now the new guys that are represented there. We have the Boomtown Saints and the Appleton Assassins featured in the windows, the window clings, if you will. If you look at them, the light shows through, but it's got these really neat photos. So we always end with the future, because we think if people can appreciate the past, where the sport came from, what a great sport it's been for almost 60 years, and the fact that we're still working on it, we're still recruiting, it's our number one mission, that's why we raise money at the IFT, We have a shirt full of sponsors, including your radio station, who help us out every year. And we take that money, what's left over, we buy Frisbees, we buy gloves, we buy rental time for the gyms. We send players to Marquette, Detroit, Wisconsin, New Mexico, and this year to London, England, thanks to our sponsors. We couldn't do it without them, and we're going to continue growing the sport. It's our number one goal. It's what we've been doing, and knock on wood, it's been working.
You have a day coming up where people can, you know, get a firsthand look at what Guts Frisbee is all about. Of course, we encourage them to come out to the IFT. There's nothing like it. Yeah. Ask anybody there. It's the granddaddy of them all.
It's still the big one. Yep.
But you have your Keweenaw Guts Day. Can you tell us what's planned for that day? That's on May 21st.
Right. It's Saturday, May 21, as you said. We'll be starting around noon. And what we do is it's a great way for people to get involved in the sport for first-timers. We have done it for 6 years now. And what we do is initially we do demonstrations in the local high schools. We're going to take these, at least two of the players from Team USA 2, and we're going to do demonstrations in Houghton, Hancock, Lake Linden, and Calumet the week before. And then we will entice those people to show up for a couple of different ways. We have a radar gun that we have them throw at to get some speeds registered initially at the high schools. And then we say, come on back this weekend. We're going to feed you free Volvers products, some goodies from Pat's Foods, and some Coca-Cola products, our great sponsors. And then we're going to clock you for real this time. And we have the what's called the Top Gun Award, and our current top speeds are 72 miles an hour from Matt Wita of Lake Linden Hubble, and 46 miles an hour for girls from Allie Packle of Houghton, who actually now lives in Ironwood, I believe. So it's a great way to first, you know, try your hand out at this great sport. And we have veterans there ready to show you how to play. We'll have gloves you can wear so you won't get hurt. There's always this fear that this thing's crazy, I'm going to get hurt. Well, it's pretty soft plastic, and you can wear gloves so your hands don't get too beat up, and we can show you how to throw it so your arm doesn't kill you. And it's been really successful. Every year has grown. We had the best turnout ever last year. And if nothing else, people can come and get a free hot dog and a free pop and watch some great Guts too. But we really want the newbies to show up. It's worked. All the names I've mentioned for the London team started with Keweenaw Guts Day and the high school demonstration. So we're going to keep doing it. And now that we have actual, it's almost the Olympics of Guts Frisbee, if you will, when they go to London. We've got that caliber of player here locally that can show people how to play and see how fast you can throw the Frisbee.
Now, to compete in something like the IFT, is there an age limit that you have to be at least certain age to be able to form a team?
No, actually, most people start playing at least semi-seriously at maybe 12, 13, 14 years old. And the only thing that we would suggest them at that age is don't throw the thumber, like a hard baseball throw, because you don't want to hurt your arm yet. We can show you different throws that aren't so bad. And then once you get older, you can, and you're done growing, you can throw any shot you want. So we try to coach them a little bit that way, not to hurt themselves. But we've had most of the people still playing my age probably started back in their early teens, and we go all the way up to. If Sky King shows up, he will be 80 years old. So we hope he comes and toes the line one more time and see if we can't get the Frisbee past him.
Yes, you can get teams formed with your high school buddies, 16, 17, yep. 18 years old.
That's how it starts.
If your first year out, maybe have some success. We'll see how you do. But certainly you've had teams at that age level who do very well in a tournament.
Yeah, one of the biggest thrills we had, this was a year before last, in 2014, two local teams won on Sunday morning their first matches, and that was just huge. And the funny thing was they beat older local teams. And so it was almost the passing of the torch, if you will. And it was one of my proudest moments. I was so happy. My son actually played on one of the younger teams. And it was just such a neat thing to see. Okay, now that they can play with the old guys, they can beat the old guys, and now they're to the point where they expect to win. And from that, it's grown into, and we're going to send three of them to London to represent our country. It's grown that fast and that successfully. We're very happy with where it's going, but we can't stop. We need to keep doing Keweenaw Guts Day. We need to keep doing the demonstrations. And, so far it's working.
You tried something last year during the IAFT, and I don't know if it's been able to gain momentum, but I love it if it would, so I'll plug it again. But you had the first game, Guts Frisbee game played with two women teams.
Yeah, that's another neat thing. Actually, part of that has grown from the high school demos. We have some local girls that started playing, and then some of the older women who played years ago heard about it, and we had a couple come up from Marquette, and we actually installed Kristen Hamill, Hall of Famer, from the Detroit Dolls back in the 70s and 80s. So it was just a good weekend to celebrate women in Guts. We had a display for a couple of years at the Hall of Fame of women playing Guts Frisbee, and they had a really strong history from the early 70s right through about 1984. They had as many as 12 women's teams at the IFT and other tournaments. So it was huge, and we're trying to get it back there. They did play again in Marquette and in Detroit. So after the IFT, it kind of kicked it off, and there was a women's team that actually competed against the men's teams in Marquette, and then a mixed a co-op team, if you will, also competed against the men in Detroit. So it's women can play the sport. They play it, you know, very well. They always have, and right now we have four women in the Hall of Fame because of their abilities. They're every bit worthy.
Awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's neat.
When I'm talking to people at the IFT, and this is kind of going back because I wanted to touch on it, it's a bridge from the older guard to those that are new. The sense of tradition, that passing of the baton. You talk to anybody that's ever been part of the IFT or Guts Frisbee for any period of time, or even the young people who are just getting into it, they talk about former players, mm-hmm. like you might hear an old timer talk about an old baseball player.
Yep.
You know, they remember the epic game of 2002 or something
right,
like that. Last year's game, the title game between the Assassins and the Boomtown Saints, was an epic game.
They've done that two or three years now. It's just the finals. If nobody comes to anything but the finals, you know, like late Sunday afternoon, they're going to see incredible Guts. Yeah, they've actually started a new tradition. Now you have this new rivalry, which is outstanding, especially because the two teams like each other. It does remind me of the Paul's Bar, Library Bar rivalry, if you will, and the Queen City Flyers to an extent too, that we knew each other for years. We practiced together. We liked each other as guys, especially off the field, you know, and it was intense, but at the same time, great friendships. I counted Johnny Hodges among my really good friends over the years, and Bob Hansen and Joe Youngman and Bill Dwyer, and I can list the whole library team, and similarly in Marquette, the late Buck Buchanan and Red Beckman and those guys, you know, they all mean a lot to us. And the older we get, the more they mean to each other. We mean to each other, I think. You can see it already now with the new guys talking. We actually had video 2 years ago of the old guys throwing. The Highland Avenue Aces used to shoot a lot of video back in the 70s. So we were able to show the young guys how fast Joe Youngman threw and how fast Bob Hansen threw. And John Connolly, another Hall of Famer from the Highland Avenue Aces, these guys were really fast. So when we talk about, you know, a 95-mile-an-hour shot, that's the record now, Joe Youngman had an unofficial throw of 104 miles an hour. So, and Mark Banghart, another guy who's still playing, had a throw of 100 miles an hour out in Pasadena in the Rose Bowl. So the new guys get it. They appreciate the old guys. I think they appreciate what we're doing. We get thanked a lot about our fundraising and our support of the sport. And at the same time, you know, they can look at the Hall of Fame and say, yeah, so I've heard about Bobby Hansen's thumber, you know, I've heard about Johnny Hodges' hands, you know, and locally we talk about a guy, Dwayne Harrelson, who played with Paul's Bar, that they can appreciate, you know, a complete player who played as a sportsman, just, you know, who would go anywhere and play on any team to help fill out a roster. That's a role model, and the sport is loaded with role models, I believe.
Keweenaw Guts Day is coming up. It's May 21st. Where's that being held?
That is at the corner of U.S. 41 and Red Jacket Road, right there across from the Action Spot. People will know it by that name, I think. Right on the highway there. You can't miss it. We will have dogs and brats and pop and chips and buns, again, thanks to our great sponsors. And it's just a great way to get an introduction to Guts. If you want to try it out, here's your chance. We'll go easy on you. We'll give you gloves. And I want everyone to know that Todd Van Dyke tried it a few years ago, and he did okay. So not to say that, you know, if Todd can do it, anybody can do it, but I guess I just said that.
Is there any cost to join?
It's all free. That's another thing. With our fundraising, if a young guy wants to play, we can get him to play for free, including going to other tournaments. They might have to buck up a little bit for motel rooms. We throw $100 to $200 per person to go on the road. Whatever we can afford, we give back to the young players to get them on the road and let them experience a great Frisbee tradition in Marquette. Detroit's got a great tournament. Wisconsin in early June is a great tournament. And even New Mexico, they have a three-man tournament that's been going on about 15 years out there now that I've never been, and I want to go someday, but the Albuquerque boys put on a great show. Basically, you show up and you're covered out there. They take care of you. They'll put you up in their houses, and they're just great hosts.
And if you're able to get together, get five guys together or five girls or a mixture of the two, you've still got time to get your training done and get in, give it a shot during the July tournament.
Definitely. We can help you out. If you can't fill out a roster, we'll fill it out for you. We'll find players. We guarantee it.
Dennis Wallikainen, thanks so much for coming on the program.
Hey, glad to be here.
Copper Country Today, we'll be right back.